All right. Welcome back. 239-1310. 239-1310 is After News. The name is now the conventional. Let me kind of tell you about conventional political wisdom with all these political reporters in Indiana. They just assume that Mike Pence, who's raising all this money, though actually the amount of money he's raised so far is below what Mitch Daniels had raised at this point in the election 8 years ago. Usually the rule in politics is you ignore your opponent if you think you're far ahead. Well, a few days ago, John Gregg's campaign found an organization that he was a part of, Mr. Pence, several years ago, back, I think just as he was, just when he was still a talk show host and he was moving out from being a talk show host into politics, and things that he said, and they put something online called the Pence Plan for Indiana that kind of looked like the same color scheme and everything with the Pence campaign. Now, why the Pence campaign didn't lock up Pence Plan, you know, that's bad campaign work. Anyway, here's what some of the things Mike Pence actually said that affects our community. He is in favor of repealing the minimum wage. In Congress, he has opposed raising the minimum wage, calling it excessive. In fact, in this book he wrote, or that he authored, that he supervised, it says, direct quote, "The only way inner city kids can compete with their privileged counterparts is if they were allowed to work for less." He said that. Mr. Pence also said, "Some will argue that it is unfair for inner city youth to receive lower wages because of conditions they did not create. This is undoubtedly true. Accidents of birth, however, are never fair." John Gregg is the Democratic candidate running against Mike Pence. He joins me live. He really endorsed this, John?
You know, this comes from an institute that in his first TV commercial, he said, he reminded people he had been president, he was the head of it, that he called it like a cornfield think tank. Mm-hmm. I mean, you've seen this. There are equally absurd comments about birth control that some of these people that he had write articles and that he spread out. Birth control leading to pornography and promiscuity. I'll tell you one right here, Amos, and I don't know where you are on this, but one of the articles was about school desegregation, and it claimed that these measures were burdensome and should be repealed.
School desegregation.
About a year ago.
This may become the hottest book in the state of Indiana to go find this.
Well, we've got two or three copies, but I mean, you know, one of these authors, and he brags about this stuff in his ad, saying that he was this, you know, wants to repeal the Americans with Disabilities Act.
Wait. So, the thing that allows, you know, those that are handicapped to get up the ramps and not be discriminated against.
Absolutely.
He wants to get rid of that.
One of these authors.
And he wants to be our governor.
Absolutely. And you know what? And this all started because a year ago, mm-hmm. he announced he was going to cut three taxes. Never specifically said how, but he was sounded a little like, as we say, John the Baptist. He's coming. Right. He's coming. Well, you know, he never came with his plan last year. Never came in January. It was going to come before the primary. It was going to come after the primary. And, you know, if you look at the PencePlan.com, mm-hmm. if you look at that, you'll see that everything he's done in Congress mirrors that. He's voted against the minimum wage. Mm-hmm. He has voted against funding for different programs for people with disabilities. And he has voted time and time again on funding for Planned Parenthood. And, you know, that's not an abortion issue. I am a pro-life Democrat. But the difference between he and I is that he doesn't want to see Planned Parenthood's services for health care, such as cervical exams, pap tests, pre-cancer screenings, and birth control. He doesn't want them funded. And even last year, he was saying shut down the federal government over funding that organization.
But if he is not in favor of tax dollars going to that organization, how can someone like Mike Pence in good conscience allow state tax dollars, Medicaid dollars, to go to IU Health or Community Health Network for those same procedures?
You know, all we're
That's
saying—
That's a slippery slope you're getting into.
You know, all we're saying to our friends in the media and other people is— We just want to know. All we're doing is just saying, Mike, tell us. I mean, you know, I've known Mike for 30 years. Mike and I are friends. This is all just a
up
difference.
Until now.
Well, no, this isn't personal. This is just a difference in philosophies. You know, I feel a little like Marlon Perkins. I'm stalking that leopard out there changing his spots. I mean, he said all along he was all about social issues. Now he's all about jobs. But by golly. You know, there's some about these folks when they go to Washington, D.C., you know, they drink that water and they start thinking different, you know?
Well, with John Gray, the Democratic candidate for governor, and John, both you have been talking about this. Your running mate, Vice Simpson, has been talking about this. The Pence campaign has come back and said, it was unfair that you took advantage of us on Twitter. It's unfair that you created something that has our typeface and our colors. We're all about jobs and the economy. But yet, ever since your opponent has complained about you talking about him, he has never said is he going to do for Indiana?
He's never said what he's going to do for Indiana, and God love him. He's also never denied any of this stuff. They said it's unfair, but...
I mean, so he's never said that what I just read about the minimum wage in inner city is not true.
Yeah, I want to know. I mean, and that's my question to you in the media. I don't know. I just go ask old Mike. I mean, golly, he's a member of Congress. You ever known one of them to get locked jaw and not have a solution?
All right, now let me be fair, John Gregg. I just got a text message at 85620, keyword Amos. Text message says, so this is Gregg's message. Just go to negative. I don't see a vision here of anything. Sad.
You know,
where's
you
your
know
vision?
What? You know
what is
we've
your
had
vision?
We've had a vision, and we have been talking about jobs. We've announced two substantive plans, and, you know, and this person I'm sure knows that, and it's not negative. I mentioned, you know, Mike and I are friends. We're having a civil discussion. We're just comparing and contrasting. And let me tell you, we announced a tax elimination. We said, let's quit being one of the six states that still levies a sales tax on gasoline. When gasoline was hitting $4 a gallon, we announced, let's repeal, totally eliminate, not a phase out, the sales tax on gasoline. Not the gas tax, but the 7% sales tax on gasoline. Mm-hmm. And we had a plan how to pay for it, so it was revenue neutral. We then, month later, we announced another plan, and it's a job-stimulating plan. That first one goes to people where they can drive to and from work, where they can go to and from their kids' school events. This second one was geared to Indiana's corporate tax, very narrowly targeted to two groups. The first one says, hey, if you're an Indiana business, now this is a corporation, a sub-S, LLP, LLC, if you're headquartered here in Indiana, we're going to give them certain tax breaks. We actually give them tax credits. Mm-hmm. So that way, hopefully, then it will take away their tax burden. Now, we've got other companies.
What would they have to do in return? Create jobs?
Well, what they do is if they are headquartered here and they do certain things, they will qualify for it.
Okay.
The second part is because we got a lot of good companies. Mm-hmm. We got a lot of good companies that aren't headquartered here in Indiana, but do business in Indiana. I mean, the automotive industries. Yeah. One, which of course, you know, and I don't think it's negative to say that Congressman Pence voted against the auto industry and the steel industry, voted against those loans. I mean, is that negative? I mean, golly, I'm just telling what happened. Mm-hmm. But in the second part of it, it said if you are adding manufacturing, expanding, or you are in some certain areas like life sciences, stem cell, research and development, advanced manufacturing, if you're in some of these areas, then you too will get a tax credit. So we've thrown a plan out there. I mean, we've had a plan. We had our first plan out there 2 months ago, our second plan a month ago. We've been talking about specifics in education and all about it. So, you know, I'm sorry, but I mean, golly, I mean, it's what he said. I mean, is he for it or is he against it? I mean, this person just needs to ask him. I don't know how that's negative. He's made a career being against Planned Parenthood. Why is it wrong for me to say that?
When we go back to jobs, what would Governor John Gregg do week one? After you take the oath of office to put Hoosiers back to work?
Well, I'm going to do something before week one, and we'll start, you know, the day afterwards working on the transition. I've made one promise, and my first issue, why jobs are what this election about, First thing I want to do after I get sworn in is we already want to have a plan we can implement in the Department of Children's Services. Mm-hmm. And that's solely because, you know, we're bragging about giving money back, but we've got children who are suffering in the state of Indiana who we are not removing from homes, in part because we don't want to have to pay for it. And these children are getting abused and sadly, Amos, sometimes killed. Mm-hmm. And we got to do something there. I mean, that is number one. Now, as far as the jobs, mm-hmm. we return to our roots. This has always been an ag state and has been a manufacturing state. Agriculture, and, you know, I live on a farm.
Right.
I'm not a farmer. I want to make that clear, but I do live on a farm. Mm-hmm. And I got farmers all around me. And I got to tell you, we're going through phenomenal changes in agriculture. Research and development, the traditional corn, beans, and livestock. But we're also seeing issues in sustainability and environmental friendly. People want to know where their food comes from.
Right.
We can start growing more and more produce and good quality food here in Indiana. And because of where we're located, we can ship it and ship it cheap. Another area, advanced manufacturing, yeah. robotics, you know, laser optics. We have got such an opportunity. Well, south of Martinsville, before you get into Bloomington, there's a place called Pointer Metals.
Right.
The dudes down there are sheet metal workers. They run laser equipment that is cutting through metal and making precision items. This is advanced manufacturing. We need to do everything we can to promote advanced manufacturing. Look at life sciences. Look at logistics and the energy business, which is what I come from.
239-1310. 239-1310 is Athens News. Name is, let me go to Jeff right quick, then we'll take a break. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, how you doing, Amos?
I'm fine.
And how you doing, Mr. Craig?
I'm doing fine. Greg, please.
Greg, okay, cool. Hey, let me tell you something. This is what I'm talking about, Amos. You know, I always talk about the Democrats got to stop being poodles, and we got to stop being pit bulls. And this man right here is a pit bull. You know, Mike Pence is a bully, and he's running. He's scared, Amos. The man is running for cover because this man is exposing him for what is. And these are his own words. So, John, I hope you keep up this good work. And I'm telling you, quit this. Don't go kumbaya. Let's all hold hands and be the world. Go after these guys. Go for the TKO. And Amos, what would you do to bring jobs into the inner cities? You know, we talk about Honda and all these plants out there in the rural areas. Well, that's all fine and good for people in the rural areas. What about the folks in the inner city here? And I'm going to tell you something. One of the reasons why Scott Walker prevailed is because we still got white union members who still want to identify with the far right wing. Well, you know what? I'm going to say this name, and I'm going to say it again to my white brothers and sisters out there. The name is Tim Wise. Look him up on the internet. Tim Wise, WISE. Look the man up. Thank you, Mr. John.
All right. On Jeff's question about bringing jobs, not just to the inner city, but jobs that people in our community, whether you live in Center Township or you live in Pike or Warren or Wayne or Lawrence, you can get to.
Absolutely. That's one reason why we proposed our elimination of the sales tax on gasoline, because it's expensive for people to drive to work, and when they're in entry-level jobs, they can't get there. Again, advanced manufacturing can take place in the inner city. Life sciences can take place in the inner city. The manufacturing of, look at our unbelievable life sciences industry mm-hmm. in Indiana. That can take place in the central part of the inner city. We have got to tie this into education. Because all the jobs in the world without great education is going to allow us to miss those opportunities. And education is a key component.
Before I go to break, last Friday we were out at the Flanner House Charter School. That's the school where those third graders flunked iRead. But those same third graders that took iStep around the same time smoked it. Nearly all of them passed. One of the things that came out is all these tests that our kids take, not the regular quizzes that you take every week, not the regular test out of the textbook, but all these standardized tests to measure. Are we over-testing our kids and the stress that schools come under? What would a Governor John Gregg do to bring some sanity back into our education system?
Well, you know, I need to tell you that when Indiana passed its first charter school bill, they mm-hmm. passed it for Mayor Bart Peterson. Mm-hmm. It was passed with bipartisan support, and there were safeguards on there that still kept a good public eye over it. Mm-hmm. And we've removed some of them. But I think the biggest difference between what I will propose and what's been the existing stature of public schools and what would likely continue under my worthy opponent is that I want to give four people, four different groups, a voice in this. Mm-hmm. Right now, we've got just reformers. I want those reformers to stay. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I want one of those, one or two of those great school teachers. Mm-hmm. I want one of them, one or two of them sitting at the table. I want one of those middle school principals. Mm. I want one of those school superintendents. And here's a novel idea, Amos. What about one of them parents?
Yeah.
So, you know, we got to broaden that base and be a little more inclusive. You know, the best ideas don't come out of Washington or Indianapolis. They come out of the supper table.
239-1310, 239-1310. It's Afternoons with Amos. John Gregg is the Democratic candidate for governor. One of my callers said he's a pit bull. I'm saying he's like Muhammad Ali, floating like a butterfly, stinging like a B-52. When we come back, I'm going to ask John Gregg about a major Indiana event and whether he thinks his opponent will actually appear at that major Indiana event for the first time in history. It's Afternoons with Amos after these. 239-1310, 239-1310, it's Afternoons with Amos on the phones. And Hubert, hi there.
Hello?
You're on the air.
Okay, my name is Hubert.
Yes, sir.
I'm calling about, hey, the service station and the everything. Why are they outsourcing everything, like the governor? Are they making big money for they pocket, the man, the government, outsourcing all this stuff? Is they going to outsource Indiana, period?
Great question. Are you going to, how much have we outsourced and how much of it can you bring back, John Gregg?
You know, that's an excellent question, Hubert. You know, I just recently found out, I mentioned the Department of Children's Services. Part of the investigatory work I found out recently was outsourced to a company somewhere in Tennessee. And that doesn't make sense to me when we've got unemployment in Indiana and it's Indiana tax dollars. You know, let me give the governor a compliment. He actually remade the Indiana Bureau of Motor Vehicles. You go into that license branch now, and it's like going into Fridays. You know, they're glad to meet you. They all dress alike. They're excited. And, you know, if he could do that, why aren't we doing that at these other places? I mean, Hoosiers are qualified, and I'm not a big fan of outsourcing stuff at all. I mean, these are state tax dollars. They need to be being spent here in Indiana.
One of the things that has come up in the last year or so is alleged wrongdoing in this administration. The front page of the Indianapolis Star today is talking about this mess with Duke Energy, the State Regulatory Commission emails, who said what to whom. And then Kara Kenny, the investigative reporter at Channel 6 WRTV, did a story where the inspector general found that two employees at the state fairgrounds were doing business on state time with state resources for their own private business. The inspector general investigated, gave a slap on the hand to those two employees, but never referred the case to either the Marion County prosecutor or fired the two employees. I thought you served in the legislature where folks got caught with ghost employment and went to jail and lost their jobs.
You know, I do want to tell you, I've known our governor, and our governor is a very ethical and honest man. I mean, I have disagreements with him, mm-hmm. and you know, the sad thing when something like that happens, and yeah, he's governor, you know, even though I'm sure never even met these people, mm-hmm. that's a sad reflection, and that's kind of like what we've been talking about on this Pence plan. You know, the congressman put this thing out, was proud of being the head of it, mentioned it in his first campaign, and all we're doing is talking about it. So, you know, I mean, it happened under his watch, so to speak. I want to mention, you know, some lady said that was negative campaigning. I've known Congressman Pence. I mean, yeah, I call him Mike. He calls me John. We've known each other for 30 years. We can have disagreements and political disagreements and still be friends. I consider Mike a friend, but we're vehemently different. I'm not an extremist. I see nothing wrong with bipartisan cooperation and collaboration and cooperation. I want to move Indiana forward. I don't want to deal with a divisive plan.
Let me go to Monica, 239-1310. Hi there.
Hello, Amos. How are you today?
I'm fine.
Good. Mr. John, I am glad to hear what you're saying today. As a matter of fact, I'm very excited about it because I just think initially what you said, that we're getting most of our people who are serving the community getting in different offices, and they end up forgetting where they've come from, and they forget the service part. I've got a question. I am currently dealing with the issue with the Indiana Housing Authority, and the thing that I found in this particular issue is that there's not a lot that is the same. What do I mean by that? The state office, I mean the state, the way the state runs opposed to the city runs, all of that stuff is so uniquely different. And when you get caught between the two, it is quite horrible. And so I'm just interested in knowing, is there ever going to be any push to make all the rules the same? Because I'm dealing with the health department who says a building structure can be one thing. I'm dealing with the Indianapolis Housing that says the city structure can be another thing, because these are our rules. And I'm just wondering, are we ever going to get on the same page where everybody's rules are the same?
Great question.
Yeah, great question. I think you've hit on something there that a lot of people would like to know. You know, that is a problem. And part of the problem is because, you know, we've got federal government makes rules that apply in many situations. Then you got state, and then you got local, and sometimes they overlap, sometimes they conflict. I think one thing that probably ought to be done, and this is really, by you saying this is a great suggestion, and I've got a person here writing stuff down with me. You know, I think one thing that would be a good idea when we get in, I want to do a complete audit of the state's money, because, you know, we've been finding, $300 million here, $200 there, $500,000 here. I think it wouldn't hurt to have some group of people look and see in areas where the state and local regulations maybe are perpendicular as opposed to parallel. That's a good idea, because what I think stuff like that does, it causes a concern to our consumers, citizens, taxpayers, and it can also do something that can thwart business. And I can tell you, I am all about jobs. I've worked for two Fortune 500 corporations. My dad was a small businessman in Linton, Indiana for over 50 years, and our recovery is going to come down to the mom and pop and the small businesses in this country. So I like your comment.
Let me go to Georgia right quick. Thank you, Monica, 239-1310. Hi there.
Yeah, how you doing, Brother Brown?
I'm fine, sir.
You remember last year when Mike Pence said, let the government go down? He made that statement from Washington, D.C. I caught it on the news, and I'm quite sure you can find it. But anyway, I'd like to say to Mr. Greg there that your name was mentioned the other day at the my local union retiree meeting. And also, I stopped down at the Democratic headquarters there on East Market Street, and I got quite a few of your material in my car.
Uh-oh.
That I pass out throughout the neighborhood. And I will continue to do this up until election time.
Well, thank you. I'll tell you, my friend, I appreciate it, and that's the way we're going to win this. We'll be outspent, but we won't be outworked. And by all means, if you've got capabilities, look at PencePlan.com and see where he's talking about shut it down. And he's directly appealing to the Tea Party. You know, I've got no problems if that's the congressman's philosophy. Mm-hmm. But right now he's trying to decide, is it? Is he going to embrace it or is he not? You know, he got lockjaw on that U.S. Senate race in his party and never said which one he wanted. So I assume he wanted Richard Murdoch because he didn't endorse Dick Lugar. And you know as well as I do, Amos, the only reason why Dick Lugar was beaten that primary was because he was moderate and he tried to listen to everybody. And you know, I'm going to try to listen to folks. I'm going to try to bring people together. If you're an extremist, I'm not your cup of tea.
John Gregg, when you were Speaker of the House, you attended Black Expo.
Yeah.
Over the years, you've attended Black Expo. In all of the years that Mike Pence has been in service to the people of Indiana, and even before then, when he was just an itinerant talk show host, just like me, he has never attended Expo. He's now running to be the leader of this state of 6.5 million people. How critical is it if a Mike Pence does not even show his face at such a major event like Indiana Black Expo?
Well, I just know that I'm going to be there. I enjoy Indiana Black Expo. It's educational. It is a wonderful opportunity for me to learn about all types of issues and topics. I have enjoyed it over the years. I know I will be there. And, you know, maybe Congressman Pence will come. I will tell you that, you know, there's not a thing wrong with Mike. Like I said, he's been a friend of mine. We just happen to disagree vehemently on different issues. I mean, I'm truly about jobs. And I think being at Black Expo is something about jobs. You need to send a sign if you're governor of all the people.
John Gregg is the Democratic candidate for governor. If people want more information about your campaign, which is the standard question we ask to all candidates, if Mike Pence were sitting in the chair where John Gregg was sitting, he would be asked the same question. Oh, and he has been invited to come on the program in studio. They have responded. They are looking at it in the calendar between now and we set a deadline of November the 2nd, the Friday before the election. He's going to be here, Chris. Oh, ye of little faith.
Oh, ye of little faith. He'll be here.
In fact, all the Pence supporters who are listening right now, who were convinced that Mr. Gregg was going to come in here and say evil and mean things about Mike Pence. See, I told you all were going to be wrong. And hopefully he'll be I know we will talk to John Gregg when we're down at Expo, and I'm sure we will talk to Mike Pence while we're down at Expo. But if people want more information about your campaign, how do they get a hold of you?
GreggForGovernor.com.
Greg for that's G-R-E-G-G for governor.com.
Yes, sir.
All right. John Gregg, the Democratic candidate for governor, thanks very much for being with us.